Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Saying what can't be said, Israel has been defeated. A total defeat. These aren't my words. This is the headline of a piece in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, written by Israeli journalist Chaim Levinson. Now, the subheading is, the war's aims won't be achieved. The hostages won't be returned through military pressure. Security won't be restored. And Israel's international ostracism won't end. Well, that's basic common sense, isn't it? And the fact that in any way that's controversial shows what a total mess we're currently in. Not just the role of Israel, but also Western elites and indeed much of the Western media. This is a piece of crucial importance because its argument really is at the core of what's actually happening right now. Not least, of course, the desperate attempts by the Israeli state to incite a wider war with Iran. It also offers a very interesting insight into Israeli psychology at the moment. Now, this journalist starts by saying, we've lost. Truth must be told. The inability to admit it encapsulates everything you need to know about Israel's individual and mass psychology. There's a clear, sharp, predictable reality that we should begin to fathom, to process, to understand, and to draw conclusions from for the future. It's no fun to admit that we've lost, so we lie to ourselves. Now, he goes on to blame the country being held hostage by the worst leadership in its history, pointing out that every military undertaking is supposed to have a diplomatic exit, with the military action leading to a better diplomatic reality, but Israel has no such diplomatic exit. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu in the piece is clearly chief villain. He's denounced as a scoundrel of a leader with no capacity for leadership or decision-making, though he does note, the journalist, that the Israeli electorate obviously put him in power. It bemoans what could have been a short, powerful, aggressive, it suggests, eminently justified campaign. It goes on to quickly root out Hamas with, well, we'll talk about that, with a coalition of countries then carrying out reconstruction with a new viable alternative to Hamas being created, whatever that actually would mean in practical terms isn't made clear. He goes on to describe what he clearly believes to be mass delusion, that with just a little more time and with a little more effort, the hostages will be released, Hamas will surrender, and Yahya Sinwar, the leader of Hamas, will be killed, summing up the mood as, after all, we're the good guys and good will triumph, throwing in the imminent implosion of the Iranian regime as another example. He believes that there may never be a safe return to the northern border of Israel, thanks to Hezbollah in Lebanon, that not all hostages will return either alive or dead, the whereabouts of some will remain unknown. While every Iranian threat will make Israelis tremble, Israel's standing has been dealt a beating, he says, with the world no longer seeing Israel as a strong country, a wise people or powerful army. He even writes that Israel is a shtetl, that is a small town with an air force, and that's on the condition that it's awakened in time. He goes on to predict that an onslaught on Rafah is essentially a mirage or a bluff that will never properly happen despite repeated promises, except maybe a limited excursion passed off as something else. We'll see about that, I'm not so sure personally. But a few things here. Now, clearly the Israeli state has suffered a colossal strategic defeat. No question about that. If you had been told 6 months earlier that at this point in April, Israel would still be fighting in Gaza, that it would not have retrieved huge numbers of the hostages who'd been seized, that Hamas had not in any meaningful sense been defeated even close, you'd have rightly concluded that clearly things were going to go disastrously wrong on the terms set by Israel. Now, firstly, in terms of the hostages, and again, let's be clear, and I've always been clear, that taking hostages is a grave war crime for which there is no defence. Now, the Israeli state has killed more hostages than it's rescued. It's believed 253 hostages in total were taken on the 7th of October, overwhelmingly Israeli, but some foreign citizens. We don't actually know how many hostages the IDF has killed. We know it's killed at least three directly in terms of being fired upon. They were waving white flags, screaming in Hebrew, clearly unarmed, and indeed underlining that Palestinian civilians have no chance whatsoever. Of the remaining hostages, 34 are believed to have been killed. Now, we don't know the circumstances of how each of those hostages were killed. But I would note, for example, that when Yossi Sharibi, one of the hostages, was reported back in January to have been killed in an IDF strike, it was widely denounced as a false claim by Hamas, that Hamas had actually must have killed him. Well, when attention moved on a few weeks later, the IDF stated they'd probably killed him in an airstrike. That's classic Israeli state, by the way. You just kind of muddy the waters, deflect, and then when attention's moved on, the truth comes out, and you hope no one notices. Now, Gaza has been carpet bombed. Tens of thousands of Palestinians are believed to have suffered hideous, violent deaths as a consequence, excluding those killed, for example, because of a lack of the basics of life, because of the Israeli siege, as well as the destruction of the healthcare system. So statistically speaking, it is obviously inevitable that some hostages will have been killed by Israeli ammunition. Now, in terms of hostages safely returned to their loved ones in Israel, 4 were released by Hamas unilaterally, while 105 were released because of a ceasefire and a prisoner exchange deal. So clearly the hostages were never going to be rescued by military means. That was always a lie and continues to be a lie. It needed a ceasefire and negotiation. And that meant releasing those described by the courageous Israeli journalist who also writes for Haaretz, Gideon Levy, as Israel's own hostages, then being released as well. Huge numbers of Palestinians held without charge, including kids. And before the 7th of October, the charity Save the Children reported the physical and sexual abuse of child detainees by the Israeli military authorities. Conditions for these prisoners are so catastrophic that having been chained up for so long, some have had their limbs amputated. Save the Children, again, have reported that since this horror all began, kids have been detained without cause, suffering hideous, violent beatings, no medical care, prevented from speaking to parents. Last December is just one example. The 14-year-old Palestinian boy Salem was released after months of detention after being arrested for throwing stones at an illegal settlement. By mid-March, well over 7,000 Palestinians have been arrested in the West Bank alone, with over 3,000 held without charge, with huge and overwhelming evidence of torture, ill treatment. In many cases, families not even being told about the whereabouts of their loved ones. Sounds a lot like hostage-taking, doesn't it? Now, in terms of Hamas being undefeated, well, you cannot defeat an idea. As The Guardian reports this week, Hamas remains in de facto control over swathes of Gaza, including where much of Gaza's population is concentrated. Few of its top leaders have been harmed. Much of its tunnel network is intact. It does add the organization's ability to effectively govern is much reduced. Its military stores are depleted and thousands of fighters are dead. But even Israel's estimates are only a third of Hamas's pre-war 30,000 to 40,000 having been killed. Hamas claim much lower. We don't know the truth. What we do know is Haaretz, again, debunked Israel's claims of 9,000 Hamas militants being killed since it all began on the grounds that Israel counted the killing of anyone who crosses an invisible line as being a Hamas terrorist, which they do after the event. That in practice means huge and unknown numbers of civilians. Now, indeed, as The Guardian adds, independent confirmation of either claim is not possible, but many analysts say the emphasis on the kill count revealed a failure among Israeli strategists to understand the nature of the enemy. The very straightforward problem here is you just, again, I keep saying it, you can't kill an idea. The Palestinian people, like any other people on earth, are never going to accept being occupied by a hostile power. It's not going to happen. They'll never accept their land being stolen and settled on, colonized by a hostile power. It's never going to happen. And they're never going to accept being butchered and maimed by a foreign power.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
It is what it is. Now, the latest polling of Palestinians across Gaza and the West Bank suggests Hamas will win 60% of the vote compared to 28% for Fatah, which rules in the West Bank presently. Bear in mind, Hamas won 45% of the vote in the last 2006 legislative elections. This is totally predictable. Hamas has obviously been strengthened amongst the population, which has suffered a genocidal war. Clearly, they were never going to militarily defeat Hamas. It's just a lie from the beginning. And they're not completely stupid. They surely knew this, which is why you end up in genocidal territory. That's the truth. It's why the Israeli state clearly just wants to rid Gaza of the Palestinian people. And that must, by necessity, mean genocidal behaviour, because people don't want to leave their homes. Now, in terms of killing Hamas militants, as though that's a static number, obviously a number of those who've watched their loved ones being blown apart by Israeli weapons are going to take up arms. They're going to want to fight for the rest of their lives, in some cases. The naivety in this article is the argument there could ever have been some form of military victory, that there was another form of military victory that was possible. What's happened instead is public opinion in the states which Israel depends on has dramatically shifted against it. In the United States, where criticism of Israel, frankly, for a long time, is practically regarded as beyond the pale, polling now shows that 55% disapprove of the Israeli military onslaught, with just 36% approving. More Americans than not believe genocide has been committed by Israel. In the UK, a poll 2 months ago found 61% of voters have an unfavourable view of Israel, with 20% having a favourable view. That's the lowest level ever recorded in terms of being favourable for Israel ever. Now, I doubt things have improved since mid-February, do you? This matters because something's got to give. Voters are increasingly going to turn against the unequivocal support their governments have given to Israel. Now, at the same time, it talks about the lack of security for Israel, this article. Well, again, I mean, that won't change. That won't change for the basic underlying problem, which is the suffering of the Palestinian people. I'll come on to that. Look, I mean, the problem with the article is it suggests this is basically on Netanyahu. A useful bogeyman to have, to be sure. But this is inevitably where the logic of settler colonialism and the underlying dehumanisation it requires takes you. The polling of Jewish Israeli voters, I separate that out because polling of Palestinian citizens of Israel, who make up about a fifth of the population, yields very different results. But that polling shows huge numbers don't think the Israeli military have even gone far enough. And 60% oppose any humanitarian aid to Gaza at all. Can't pin that all on Netanyahu. It'd obviously mean, in practice, I mean, if you end all humanitarian aid, that just means killing everyone with starvation. The article also doesn't engage with the fact there will never be peace until the oppression of the Palestinians ends, the occupation ends, the deprivation of their right to national determination ends. That will always be the root cause of continued violence. So this idea of, like, when would security, we'll never get security back, well, no. You know, and we do need a lasting peace in which the land is shared on the basis of equality and justice by Palestinians and Israeli citizens. Well, whatever end form that takes is something I'm entirely pragmatic on. It's not for me to dictate it, is it, really? It's up to for the peoples there to decide it together, but not on the basis of the Palestinian people having no actual proper say. That oppression has to end. And what that form takes, a confederation is one idea. I mean, it could be two states. The danger of two states is you end up basically with Bantustans like you had in South Africa, so-called homeland set up for the black population, which were just hideously, you know, deprived of the ability to exist as obviously, you know, in any reasonable sense, a nation state. A confederation is one way to square the circle. But again, it's not for me, you know, British colonials sitting around drawing up the maps of the world in their living rooms is one of the many reasons we're in the mess we're in globally. But, you know, there will never, ever be security without peace. That's the truth. Where I do agree with the article is the Israeli state has suffered a catastrophic defeat, which is why it's manufactured a confrontation with Iran by bombing the consulate in Damascus and setting off a chain of events which threatens a massive regional or indeed global war. So we're all at risk now because of the calamity that Israel has brought upon itself. That has to be resisted because the potential consequences are too catastrophic to even contemplate. Please like and subscribe. Do leave your comments. Do share the video. Help us take on the pro-war media. Patreon.com/OwnJazz84. Listen to us on the podcast. I'll speak to you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.